let's think about what the pastor talks about. He talks to us all the time about scheduling our days, knowing what we're going to do, where we're going to be, and everything like that, and so on. And we can tell he's very adamant about it, and very adamant in his own life. It's very evident that he works off of that schedule and does the things he does here for the church. That's why we're going and growing and seeing the bus ministry and everything, because he has set some things. And if you would, take your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis 39. I'm only going to look at one verse here and just get a thought for what I want to speak about tonight. In verse 10, it says, and this is the story when Joseph had gone into Potiphar's house and had proven himself a very faithful servant to Potiphar, very honest and so on. But Potiphar had a wife that was not so honest, no integrity. And then look in verse 10. And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And I want to take this thought day by day. We're under the attack of Satan, and he's constantly coming after us. And we need to have some daily activities in our life that will prevent him from doing what Potiphar's wife wanted to do to Joseph. You see, Joseph had character. He had integrity. And even though she wanted, he left his coat and ran out. And she brought an accusation against him, but God knew the truth. And it was Potiphar's wife that was at fault, not Joseph. And so what does God do? He takes him from Potiphar's house and steps him up to go to Pharaoh's house. And now he's in charge of the whole works and so on. And God's good. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts tonight. And Lord, as we look at our daily lives, help me to share these things that will help us to be aware that we can live day by day by day to be honored and glorifying to you. We give you all the praise and the glory for anything that's accomplished in my life, in our church life, in our pastor's life. Lord, we just praise you and thank you for it, that we can have an active part in it. Now, the pastor talked about daily activities. And we probably all have some daily activities, but the problem is doing them. I can make a list of daily activities, but I'm almost 80 years old now. And by the time I lay them down on the table or put it aside, it's out of my mind. I've forgotten I even made the list, let alone what's on the list. But that's why I put the list right out on my dining room table where I operate now. Since Connie has gone, some of you maybe have been in my home, my dining room table now is my office. My computer's set up there. It's right behind my recliner in the living room. And that's where I live my life, day in and day out. And so I have numerous notes that I stick right up by the keyboard to the computer, because I know I'll forget them. But I want to day by day by day, boring day, but I want to do things right and proper the way God wants. And when God lays something on my heart, I want to do it and to get on it and so on. But I've got a list here of some daily activities that I believe that will be a help. There's only four of them, but I believe that they will be a help. Number one, praise the Lord. Number two, pray earnestly. Number three, partake of the word. Number four, preach to the world. Those are the things. And if you remember these things in your daily life, you will have a good Christian walk. I mentioned that I'm almost 80 years old now. I'll be 78 in April. And I'll tell you the truth, this last 3, 4, 5 years have been the most invigorating of my life. Not physically to get out and so on and do things like that. I'm looking out in my yard now and I've got limbs down and probably going to have a big bonfire for me and Angela. And things like that. Now I am looking forward to that. That's about the only physical thing I do other than going to and from the restaurants. But we got to keep active. Amen. We can't just sit down and quit and so on. But drawing closer to the Lord, I've maybe preached on this, and I don't want to drive it in the ground, but I want you to understand, because if you can start where you're at right now and get to where I feel that I'm at right now, man, you would have nothing but good things to look forward to. Fellowship with the Lord and new knowledge of God. And God just reveals to me over and over things. As I read the scripture, every day I get something new. And I've read them 50 times or more. And there's just new stuff in here. But things that we need to do on a daily basis. Number one, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm not going to sing for you. That's all you're going to get. But we need to praise the Lord. We need to let God know that we know who He is and what He's done. We need to let other people know that we know who God is and what He's done. They're not going to shake my faith. All this garbage and stuff that's coming up, and we see things that scientists are just now finding out. Well, God knew about it 10 million years ago before this earth was ever created, and He knows where it's going. And if it goes that way, it goes because God's going to let it go that way. I believe in God, not the scientists. So I'm not going to praise man. I'm going to praise the Lord. Revelation 19:4, and the four and 20 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, hallelujah, hallelujah. And verse 5, and a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. All ye servants, we need to praise the God. Number one, we need to praise God silently. That's in our heart. We need, and in our thoughts, when I say the heart, I'm talking about thoughts. You know, your mind and your heart go hand in hand. But we need to praise God silently. That means when we're alone with God, we need to think about Him. Remember what it was like when you first started dating your husband or your wife? I was in the Navy. Connie and I dated. We broke up. I went in the Navy, and then we started going together. But we wrote, you know what I did? from Great Lakes down to High Mara, every weekend I hitchhiked home. Why? Because I wanted to be with the love of my life. We got engaged, and I wanted to be there. And that's what we need to think about the Lord silently. Lord, you are my Savior. You are my best friend. I talked to the Lord silently all day long, sitting there in my recliner or working at my desk. I'm in constant communication with the Lord. Not that I'm there actually praying, saying, Lord, do this or do that. I just talk to the Lord like he's right there. Remember what the Bible said. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So number one, praising silently, that's self for our benefit. Number two, praise vocally with other people. That's why we come here to church and we say, praise the Lord. We sing, praise the Lord. And somebody, Brother Steve, come home from the hospital. What do? Praise the Lord. And other people have things. I think of the babies in here that could have died, that might not be sitting here tonight, that God supernaturally took care of them because of the prayers and of the people here. And we praise the Lord. And there's so much to praise God for. I don't care what's going on in the world. I don't even read the news hardly. I look at some of the headlines or something catches, but I don't care. I know where the news comes from. This is my news carrier that tells me everything that I need to know about today, tomorrow, and next year. So praise by yourself, praise vocally with others, and then praise jointly to glorify God. And this sort of a repeat of praying with others, but to glorify God. And how many times in the Bible do we see, and the multitudes glorified God and sang to God and praised God? The multitudes did. We can't give him enough. We are so humanistic in our life. Man, I've done everything I could. I mean, I was on my knees and prayed for an hour, or I sat in my chair and prayed for an hour and so on. Well, maybe God wants you to pray for 2 hours. Maybe God wants you to call for two or three other people and pray together for 2 or 3 hours. Let's praise the Lord. Not selfishly, but for ourselves, for others, and with others. Psalm 146:1, 147:1, 148:1. If you've read the Psalms, you know what I'm going to say. Psalm 149:1, Psalm 151. It's easy to memorize how these start. Praise ye the Lord. Going through all the psalm, coming to the end, praise ye the Lord. With what's going on the pastor right now, it's heartbreaking. We pray for it. But what do? We praise the Lord. God didn't make a mistake. God's not left the watch care of our pastor. And we need to just uphold him in prayer. And in everything we do, praise the Lord. Number two, praise the Lord first, but number two, pray earnestly. Pray earnestly with intensity. Jesus in the garden, remember, he was so intense in prayer that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. I'll be truthful with you. This is probably one of the greatest shortcomings in my life. I pray continually, but I don't find myself praying intensely very often, unless it's something hit close to home. Like the pastor, every morning I get up, I pray for Angela and I pray for the pastor. Throughout the day, numerous times, I pray for both of them. When Steve went in the hospital, I prayed for him. I prayed for them. But sometimes intense prayer, we got the anniversary coming up. You know, there's multitudes that we're inviting that we want to come to get saved. And why not intensify your prayer for John, for Jim, for Janie, for Sally? They're coming. They promised me they'll come. Lord, they need to be saved. Work in their hearts and lives. I look back in my life right now, and I could sit up here for probably 2 hours and talk about things that happened in my life from my teenage years all the way up to the present, that I know that God worked the circumstances and everything in it to manipulate me to be where I ought to be, to do the things that I ought to be doing. So we need to pray intensely. And Luke 22:44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly and sweat as it were great drops of blood. James 5:17, Elias was a man, that's Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Have you ever had a prayer answered like that? I dare say none of us probably have, but we have had prayers answered that were miraculous prayers in people's lives, health being spared, salvation coming, numerous things like that. Luke 18:1, Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. So in this daily activity, let's make prayer a part of that daily activity. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul said, pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean you're down on your knees, hands and knees and praying. It means to be in an attitude of prayer, to be in communion with God, so that the instant something goes wrong, you don't have to call 14 other people to pray for you, although sometimes you may need some help in your prayer. But you can go to God right then. That's the difference between us and the Catholic Church. I don't have to wait until I go to church and go in some confessional or something and beg somebody for something. Come boldly, therefore, to the throne of grace right before the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to come and humbly kneel before him and present what it is. So number one, praise the Lord. Number two, pray earnestly. Number three, partake of the word. This is something I preach on almost every time I come to preach. So often I feel like I'm being so repetitious. But I don't think this can be preached too many times. Partakers of the word of God. Psalm 119. 176 verses, 173 of them refer directly or indirectly to the Word of God. Doesn't that mean something to you? This Word of God is powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, and it's in our hands to use, but we toss it aside like it's of no value. Psalm 56:10. In God will I praise His Word. In the Lord will I praise His Word. What's your attitude towards the Bible? I've told you this before, and I mentioned it today in the nursing homes in the sermon I preached. But this Bible is the Word of God. In the beginning is the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You hold up this old King James Version Bible, you're holding the Lord Jesus Christ right here in your hands. I don't set other books on top of my Bible. I don't condemn people that do. It's just I have a feeling I want to honor God's Word. I just believe that it glorifies God to do that. and to put it in such high esteem. Forever, O God, Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Do you realize we got the same word today that was spoken to the apostles from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ? Verbatim, by the Holy Spirit of God, they were written down and they've been passed on from generation to generation and preserved by God. We've got it. Boy, the world is so confused about everything going on. Why? Because they don't know a thing about the Word of God. Verse 133, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. That needs to be a daily activity. God, keep me safe. Keep me preserved. I know I'm saved and I'm going to heaven, but Lord, keep me from walking down the wrong path, partaking in the wrong activities in my life. Lord, keep me pure and holy. Not necessarily all for me, but for His honor and glory. And we need to be partakers of the Word. 119:162 says, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Can you imagine all the gold rush people that went out in the early days of America? If God had somehow or another had 100,000 or a million Bibles placed out there, and they go out digging and digging, and what do they dig up? The Word of God. And it's one that findeth great spoil. We may be poor as Job's turkey here in this life. We may not have all the uppity-up type things yet. But we will one of these days, because we've found the great spoil. Jeremiah 20, verse 9, this is very famous. Then said I, Jeremiah, I will not make mention of him, God, nor speak any more in his name. He kind of had it in for God. He didn't agree, didn't like, evidently, what God was doing. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Do you hide the Word of God in your heart? Does it burn in your heart? If you do, you'll have that same attitude as Jeremiah. Acts 17:11, the Christians in Berea. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the Word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so or not. Don't listen to me or any other preacher up here or even pastor and take our word as if it were right out of the voice of God. Compare it to His Scripture. I think that because we compare what we say to Scripture, everything that you hear us say up here ought to be matched up to the Bible. If it doesn't, you ought to put a rope around us and take us out and hang us. And there's a lot of preachers today that's changing the Word of God. A lot of book publishers that have changed the Word of God and dropped out words that mean things.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's right.
God help us. The Christians there in Berea, they were very noble and searched the Scripture daily. So compare everything that we say, everything that you believe, compare it to the Word of God. So number one, we praise the Lord. Number two, we pray earnestly. Number three, we partake of the Word. And what's the purpose of all that? Number four, so that we can preach the Word. You say, I'm not a preacher. God hadn't called me to preach. Oh, yes, he has. He hadn't called you to pastor, but he's called you to preach. We're all preachers of the Word of God. The way you walk in your life preaches the Word of God. The things you do, the places you go, the attitude that you have, all of that preaches the Word of God, either truthfully or whatever. And we need, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and as saved people, we need to preach to the world. Mark 16:14, afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. They were still skeptical. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That was given to the original church of which we're still a part of. I can't go from Blessed Hope and trace it all the way back to the church at Antioch, but God can. And there's a line that is followed. Has it always been perfect? Of course it's not. Are we perfect? Of course we're not. But our attitude is that whatever we do, we want it to match up to the Word of God. And we're going to preach and live and teach what this Bible says because it is the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Foolishness of preaching. We're not up here to be whatever you call fancy teachers. We're up here to preach the Word of God, to project the Word of God, so that when you go home, you take it with you. Now, I'm not against the Bible professors and the ones that teach the Word of God, but preaching the Word of God is far more important than teaching the Word of God. Preaching it with power, with conviction, with leadership of the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Why do you think we're having all this hoopla over the 50th anniversary? So that we can come out here and have pulled pork and fried chicken on that day? The world thinks so, and I'm using that as a go get them. When I invite people to come on May 14th, I say, we're having a tent revival, and out under the tent, we're going to have a dinner, and we're going to have pulled pork and fried chicken. I heard somebody tell that. I hope I'm telling the truth. If not, I'll blame the pastor because he's the one I heard say that. Okay. But whatever it is the big excitement of that day coming and having that food? No. Truth of the matter is, on a big, busy day like that, the pastor and Cheryl and most of us in here, the bus worker, you'd much rather take the kids home, go home, take your Sunday afternoon nap. Amen. But we're going to preach the Word of God to get people here, to get them saved, and to prepare them to go to heaven. Amen. So let me look at my outline again. This is one of those same member you forget, out of sight, out of mind. Praise the Lord, pray earnestly, partake of the Word, and preach to the world. Let's all participate in that. If we do, I think we'll all be better off. And let me say this. As a preacher, I stand up here. I'm not preaching as if I dare say that most of you are probably better at most of these things than I am. But I am the man that God put behind the pulpit tonight to share these things. And I don't preach any of this. Please believe me, I never preach to put anybody down. Boy, we're just not that good ourselves, myself. But I can preach the Word of God as the Holy Spirit impresses my heart, my thought, and my mind. And I hope it gets into your heart and up into your mind. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of being able to be here tonight to share this message. Dear God, help us. The time's drawing near, Lord. We've got relatives that are not saved. Help us to be in prayer for them, Lord. We've upheld them before your throne day in and day out. But God, they need to be saved. Put somebody in their life up in the other states where they live that will present the gospel to them and challenge them to be saved. And Lord, for us around here, somebody up there is praying for someone like us, like me, down here to be the one to confront their relative and give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us to do that. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.